Coronavirus. It's a word we all know but wish we didn't. Today on Revival for Mission, we're going to meet someone who had COVID-19. Although he wasn't sure he would survive, he made it through and has quite a story to share. Stay with us to hear more right here on Revival for Mission. You're watching Revival for Mission. Pastor Wilson, this COVID crisis and pandemic has been probably the most impactful event to the operation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church globally. What have you seen and how have you seen the church react?
It's amazing, Sam, to see how the Lord has implemented innovative ways in the minds of our church members to be able to not only reach out to other people, to share information through social media, all of that, but to also connect the church, the churches, local churches, in streaming video, in using electronic means so that people stay together as a community and draw strength from each other for the task in front of us. I mean, this is not, you know, the end of the world. It certainly is getting close, but the Lord wants us to be able to share the three angels' messages of Revelation 14 and share Christ's righteousness and his soon coming. So I have seen amazing things happen all over the world because of the creativity God has placed in the hearts of his people. I believe that the Lord's preparing us for something really big coming up very soon.
One of the things that people have not had is the opportunity to sing together and to have an experience of music together. Have you missed that?
I have, and of course it's a challenge to get together and not be able to sing. You're supposed to wear a mask and all that kind of thing. But you know what, Sam? Right now, we're going to hear something that will touch our hearts because music means something to a soul. Listen.
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. And now we're going to go to New York. We're at least in an interview because it's probably more dangerous than that. Still at the moment, New York was hit very hard with the coronavirus. And there were a lot of losses. And we're here. We're going to talk to Daniel Honoré, who is the president of one of our conferences there in New York. How was it for you and for your members to live through this pandemic and the difficult times?
It was quite an experience. It was a shock to a lot of people who had never been used to a situation. This is something unheard of in our lifetime. And so at the beginning of March, we decided we needed to close down every church and every school. In one case, we had a child that had been exposed, so we closed down that school. And by the time the weekend was over, we sent out a memo set closing down every school in the conference. Our conference covers New York State and the New England states. And a few days later, we found out that someone had been in our office building and possibly exposed. So we shut down the building as well and sent out a memo to the field that all our churches had to be closed. So it's been quite an experience living through this crisis. And the affected members, yes.
And Pastor Honoré, as you mentioned, your territory for the Northeastern Conference covers a wide swath of territory in the northeastern part of the United States. Based, though, in New York City area, so that, of course, created its own dynamic.
Yes.
But something happened to you.
Yes.
I mean, you're here managing, trying to organize things and keep things going, and by God's grace, you were able to do so. But something happened to you. And, of course, we were praying for you and
thank you.
Earnestly wanting you to be better. But tell us a little bit about what happened.
Sure. About a week after our office closed down, my son, who was working as a medical scribe in the clinic, started exhibiting some symptoms. And we were afraid he might have come down because this is the time where all clinics and hospitals are being affected. And so we did our best to segregate him from the rest of us in the house, eating apart, staying in his room. At one point, he was complaining, "You're treating me like a pariah. That's not fair." And then a few days later, I myself started coming down with some flu-like symptoms.
Yeah.
And I started feeling sick. And so he had me go to his clinic. I got tested. And it turns out I was positive. And that's where my personal ordeal began.
And you then had to sequester yourself?
I had to sequester myself. My lovely wife had to move out of our bedroom. She went to another part of the house. She's a nurse by training, so she helped me with medication, natural remedies, vitamins, supplements. And my own illness was a very trying time for me because when you're watching the news and this is going on all around you, in the state of New York, we lost 35,000 people almost. And so my question as I'm going through this is, which side of the statistical table am I going to fall on? Will I be a survivor or will I be another death statistic? And I prayed. One of the things that I did do is when I became sick, I did not hide it. I sent out a memo to our field, posted it on our social media, and I was just inundated with prayers and messages and text and postings on social media from all over the world, people saying, "Pastor Honoré, we are praying for you. We're praying for your recovery." And I had some terrible symptoms. I'm not one of the worst cases. I was not hospitalized because there are some horror stories there.
Yeah. Praise God you were at home and had a good nurse wife to take care of you. Yeah.
Yes. And some of my worst symptoms were these headaches and body aches. But the most irritating was a constant cough that just would not go away. And there were days it was just even depressing, wondering whether you get through this. Another trying element for me was that medicine says you're supposed to get better in 10 to 14 days. I went for about 3 weeks. So after day 14 and 16 and 17, I'm getting demoralized. Okay. When is this going to end, if it's going to end? But at the end, God brought me through. The prayer of the saints availed much in my behalf.
Amen.
And I'm here. And every day that I wake up, I thank God that my eyes are open and I'm still breathing and I'm still alive.
There are many people that have grappled with the realignment of their values this year compared to last year. Mm-hmm. Because 2020 is one of those years that when you thought it couldn't get worse, then something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of life and death has come to most people's minds. And we see this a search in spirituality search terms on Google and YouTube. People searching for Bible prophecy, people searching for how to understand the Bible, for God, for all of these spiritual questions. How has the church or the collection of churches that you oversee and the ministers there, how have they adapted to this new reality of fulfilling the mission when you are at home and the churches are closed?
They've adapted exceedingly well. If anyone had told me, Pastor Honore, you know, at the beginning of the year, January 1, your churches are going to be closed for 6 months. The thought that would have come into my mind is that we are going to collapse as a conference. And yet, in many ways, the church has gotten stronger. We've not had to lay off any worker. The saints have been faithful in remitting tithe that lets us keep our personnel employed. We are finding that the attendance at Wednesday night prayer meeting has increased significantly.
Mm.
People who during the week could not make it to church and who could have legitimate excuses that they're working, a lot of them are tuning in on Wednesday nights. Most of our churches, I would say almost 100%, have gone on teleconference platforms, Zoom or RingCentral or the others. And so there's a constant attendance. People are more attuned to service. And even though our churches are closed, many of them are still operating food pantries, serving the community. And Elder Wilson, you were with us when we inaugurated the center in Corona a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That center has been going nonstop. It's received additional grants and food deliveries. And people line up for blocks sometimes 6 feet apart to come get services. So our
What's
church,
the name of the center?
This is the Adventist Community Center in Corona, Queens, in New York.
The name of it is Corona.
Yes.
You cannot make this up.
I cannot make it up.
Well, that's kind of the region, I think.
Right. Yeah. A neighborhood in Queens. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it doesn't have virus at the end.
No, it's Corona. Just Corona. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And the church has responded to the community. And this is where you see the resilience of a church and you see how much they're focused on service, because the world has never needed it more collectively than now.
Yes, yes.
Now, your focus is across this large territory. You said state of New York, New England states. But New York City itself is such a prominent feature in your conference because of the membership there.
Yes.
I mean, you know, even Scripture tells us that Jesus was so interested in trying to help people in the cities. You know, it says Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness. This is, of course, from Matthew chapter 9. In terms of the service to others during this pandemic, you've just recounted how the church is active spiritually, trying to feed its members spiritually. But there were members in the Northeastern Conference, church members, who died.
Yes.
And how did our church respond to those situations within the church and also outside the church? Because this was affecting so many in the city.
Yes. Well, we have many members who perished. I stopped counting when I hit about 60. And my estimate is that we may be closer to 100. We have many sick and elderly and shut-in members who were in nursing homes. Nursing homes in New York were devastated. And so we've seen churches with 20 or 30 deaths. And we know a lot of that has to do with COVID. We can't verify that statistically, but it's been impacted. We have good people, wonderful members who perished, and I don't have time to tell all of their stories, but I can mention a couple. One of our camp counselors, 30 years and an educator who loved young people, was about to retire in June, and he passed away in May, leaving a wife and two children who were looking forward to dad retiring. He's going to be home with. So many of these tragic stories there. Very sad, but the church is resilient, and we're all looking forward to the second coming of Christ. Amen. To put us back together with all of our loved ones.
Amen. Now, Sam may have another question for you, but I want to get this one in before we close off our discussion. Your experience has made you a survivor.
Yes.
You mentioned that things of eternal value are of the utmost importance to you now. Some things that you may have valued before, you put off to the side. How has this experience helped you to relate in an empathetic way, not a sympathetic way, mm-hmm. because some of us who haven't had COVID, we're sympathetic, but we're not empathetic because we haven't had that. Mm-hmm. How do you relate to people differently now, especially those who have suffered from this pandemic and other situations?
Well, you're right. It makes you empathetic. When I find out that people are afflicted, I try to give as many of them a call and say, look, I went through this. I made it. God pulled me through. And I'm praying for you that what he did for me, he will do for you. And that's been encouraging. Also, I received numerous calls because I did share my story publicly in several forums. There are people who have told me what you did. You cannot imagine the impact that that has had on us. Mm. I didn't feel like I had to be ashamed or to hide. I could be open with my church, with my family, and thank you very much. And you inspired me, so I'm able to face this. Mm. So that's what I want our members to know, that when you're in a situation like this, it's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to be stigmatized. The Christian community, we're supposed to be able to take care of one another, love each other, pray for each other.
Amen.
But so often we put on these masks that if something is wrong with us, then we're guilty or we're worse than other people. And that's not true. Hmm. We should be able to relate to one another openly with frankness, candor, and experience the fellowship that the church was meant to be.
Amen.
Let's talk about the future, Pastor. How do you think the church will emerge after this? Because Seventh-day Adventists believe that Jesus is coming soon. That's clear. It's in our name. Right. But we believe there are three special messages that God wants to deliver to every human being alive so they can have a chance to live forever. Now, the churches in your territory, along with other Adventist churches, have this mission to deliver these three messages to an untold number of people. Now, this has changed our operation, I think, forever.
Yes.
How do you think the church will emerge in this revival, if I could put it this way, in terms of mission after we come out of the pandemic?
Well, we said something at the beginning. People are searching for answers.
Mm-hmm.
And more we're realizing that science, politics, government, institutions don't have those answers. And so we can now preach with confidence that there's a better day coming, a better world without COVID, without illness, without death. And people are searching. So
Amen.
It gives us an opportunity. And we've seen now several revivals. As a matter of fact, we are planning a major evangelistic thrust in New York and the entire conference in October through teleconferencing. Some of our Hispanic churches, some of our Portuguese churches, our Franco-Haitian churches have already done it. 2 weeks ago, we had 80 baptisms simultaneously
God.
Across the conference. So we're seeing that this is the time not to just shelter in, but use this moment. It's also an opportunity where people are searching and hungering, and not just Christians, Hindus and Jews and Muslims are wondering, where's this all going? And it gives us an opportunity right. to reach out with this message of hope.
Amen.
Pastor Daniel Honoré, thank you so much for joining us here. You are watching Revival for Mission. In a few moments, Pastor Honoré will answer your questions about this. Don't go away. Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. We have a special guest here today. As you have followed this episode, Pastor Honoré, we have some more questions for him.
Pastor Honoré, you know, I'm sure there are two dozen questions people would love to ask you. So let's at least get this one in. Someone's going through this situation themselves. We've already talked about how you can show empathy because you've gone through it. One of our viewers, some of them may be experiencing this right now, this COVID-19 pandemic, and they're feeling discouraged. They're feeling that separation. They're feeling somehow disconnected from their family, from life. What would you tell that person in order to bring Christ's hope into their lives? Because he can get them through just as he got you through.
Yes, and that's my message, that Christ can pull you through the situation. And when you look at the statistics, most people, over 90%, will survive. So that's something to look forward to. Proclaim, like the psalmist, I shall live, I shall not die. You can will, with the Lord's help, the courage to fight this disease. And if for any reason in his infinite wisdom, God says, no, I will put you to sleep, you still have that hope, that faith, that the next time you wake up, you will be in the presence of God.
And no more COVID then.
And no more COVID.
Amen.
Yes, yes. But it's a time of reflection, and it's real. And we have the answer, whether I live or whether I die, I will stay faithful to the Lord no matter what.
Amen. Amen.
To our viewers that are local church leaders, what would you say to them about the role of the church in this pandemic? Because when they used to meet every week, and there are some churches that are still closed in many parts of the world, it is harder to plan how you're going to help the community, how you're going to make a difference in other people's lives, because everybody's scattered. Mm-hmm. How have you seen your churches rise to the occasion and help others?
I've seen my church rise to the occasion in many ways. There are people who have lost jobs. It's a high level of unemployment, especially in the urban centers. And so the church, our churches have been open with food pantries. We have a medical van that has gone out and provided, with a grant from the state, COVID testing at no charge to community residents, going from neighborhood to neighborhood. The people right now are in need of services. We must remind ourselves, church is not a building. It is a community of believers coming together, helping each other.
Pastor Honoré, thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Wilson, why don't you share some thoughts from the Word of God?
You know, one of the greatest opportunities that you and I have, after listening to this personal experience and testimony, is to realize, as Pastor Honoré has said, you need to place yourself in God's hands. You need to embed yourself in the care of the Almighty. You see, the Lord can see us through regardless of what we face. And I know, along with many of you, and I hope all of you, we recognize this is not quite the end of the world. COVID-19 is not one of the seven last plagues that the Bible talks about, but I want to tell you, we're very close to that. So the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation come into play as we see all of the changes and the dramatic things happening to us today. But do not lose hope, for our hope is in Christ, in the soon coming of Jesus Christ, and in what he will do through us to meet the needs of people, whether it's in New York City, and I have a great admiration and love for the people of New York, having worked there personally, so many people who need to hear of this precious message, this saving power of Jesus Christ. And you and I can fulfill that ministry, be the hands and feet of Christ in these difficult times, by fulfilling what the Lord has said in Micah 6:8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? God will see you through. We'll see you next time on Revival for Mission.